The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PlayUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this is episode number 109. Iron Game Chalk Talk is a weekly podcast where I bring you experts in the field to talk shop. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe to us on iTunes or YouTube, or join the mailing list at ronmckeefer.com to stay up to date with the latest guests and anything else that I have going on. This week, excited to have Phil Wagner with us. Phil is the founder of Sparta Performance out in Silicon Valley, in California there, and just doing some incredible things, bridging the gap between science and strength. And, we get into it. We get into his unique background. He played football at UCLA, played semi-pro rugby in New Zealand, went to medical school, was a strength coach, and just has a well-versed background that he's poured into this company. And so we talk quite a bit about how the company's different, how they've really, like I said, bridge the gap between science and technology and, the practitioner, and really making it really easy for the coaches to evaluate their athletes, make things specific to them based off their readouts and the data that's been given by their patented technology, and just some really cool stuff. So I know you're going to get a ton out of this episode. Before we get started, I want to make sure we recognize all of our sponsors. We've got EliteForm.com, PlayUSA.com, IgnitionAPG, and, of course, Sorinex. And can't say enough about all these guys, but, Sorinex just continues to impress me each and every day. We got a rack delivered the other day to our house when I go back to Tennessee here next week for the 4th of July weekend. We're going to put it together, our family, and get our first training session as a family in the garage with the rack. And when getting an opportunity to put what you're going to train with your own kids, it was an easy decision to go with Sorinex and the base camp rack. And so I can't tell you enough positive things about the gang there, the people. I think that's the most important thing, and what they're doing and how they're giving back to our community. But make sure you go to Sorinex.com. Go follow them on Facebook or Twitter, and just stay up to date with what they got going on, because it's just a really cool company and constantly putting out some great information. So please check them out and let them know how much you appreciate them being involved with Iron Game Chalk Talk. All right, want to get to our guest, Phil Wagner. I know you're going to get a ton out of this. Sit back and enjoy this episode, and we'll see you on the other side. Just a quick note, I want to apologize for the audio and quality of the video on this episode. As you guys know, we're shooting these episodes with Skype, and the time crunch and the whole deal can be a challenge sometimes. It's a great episode with tons of great content. For the most part, you can hear everything just fine, but I wanted to acknowledge it and apologize to Dr. Phil Wagner for the quality, but appreciate him coming on and sharing, and there's just too many great nuggets of information in here to pass up. So we're going to go on with the episode, and we'll make sure to get him back on for another episode in the future. Thanks. Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. Excited to have Dr. Phil Wagner with us of Sparta's Performance out in California. And this is exciting for me, because this is a program that I've had a sincere interest in. Coach Hootie at Kansas speaks very highly. We have lots of mutual friends, and just excited to get you on the show. So thanks a lot for taking time out of your day, man.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Thanks, Ron.
He's about to jet set around the world here pretty soon. So we're gonna shoot a quick episode, but But Phil, kind of go a little bit into, you know, kind of, you know, I know you played ball. You played ball in college. You went and you played professionally, rugby. You know, I know you have a love for sport, but kind of what got you into the strength side of things and the science side of things, and kind of what's led you to found this company and what's going on with you now?
Yeah, you know, I think it started as an athlete in that sustained injuries like we all do, and I recurring the same injury as I played football, went through, you know, the protocols as would be expected, good surgeons, good rehab, really diligent. It just didn't seem to, nothing I did or surgeon I had seemed to help really solve the issue. And really started to think, man, it's got to be like a more exact way of figuring out what I need versus somebody else, more objectively, very similar to medicine. When I got out of being an athlete, I became a strength coach at Cal, and just loved every minute of it. Worked with my first mentor, Todd Rice, you know, and really into Olympic lifting and details and sprinting and agility. I think, like a lot of strength coaches, met with not success on the field and we were all let go, you know, after a couple of years. And that was a shock to me that we did a good job, but it wasn't reflected ultimately what matters, you know, we all got let go. So,
right.
Kind of a fork in the road, so to speak. And Aaron, you know, decided to go to medical school and learn more about how doctors approach disease with patients. And all the while, keeping my foot in the door, I worked as a strength coach at Penn and then at UCLA while I was finishing up school to become a physician.
Yeah, that's fantastic, you know, and that's ultimately why we end up getting into what we do is you know, we're motivated by our own experiences and obviously that leads us down the path, and obviously with a medical background and coming at it from a little bit different approach, it really kind of forced you to kind of look at what we were doing in the strength and conditioning world from a little bit different perspective and make a decision on how to go about. So kind of go into, you know, Sparta Performance and kind of how it's unique and how you've really integrated that scientific and that you know, laboratory type of approach to the weight room.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, ultimately what I was seeking when we set up Sparta was, you know, for myself, I mean, I'm still trying to not get fired from 15 years ago. Right? I mean,
you and me both.
That dumped you in high school. You're still upset about it, you know. And so I'm ultimately trying to prove myself, you know, from years ago. I think the other thing, though, is trying to validate the field. You know, the field has so much potential to be effective in an athlete's lives, range being safe from injury because you're stronger, to athletes. You know, at the end of the day, a strength coach is the one spending the majority of the time with the athlete. And what sort of habits can we convey and validate, you know, as tools that we actually change the trajectory or the fate of that individual? And so Sparta was founded on that premise, to really validate those things and collect data that would show, hey, we're predicting, we're preventing bad outcomes.
And so what are some of the ways that you've kind of found to do so? I know, you know, obviously with force plate technology, you know, that's a major component of it. Talk a little bit about how you've integrated some of that technology into identifying where some of these muscular deficiencies and imbalances are, and, you know, how you've got to kind of come about creating a plan to address each different type of athlete.
Yeah, you know, I think setting up Arden in the Silicon Valley was really strategic, just to be in touch and accessing all these different software engineers and minds of how to connect systems, because ultimately that's probably one of the bigger limitations right now is you've got all these collaborated and be both current and accurate. So we set up in the Silicon Valley and Sparta to really kind of bring in not only force plate data, but, you know, nutritional data, workout information, and all types of GPS, any sort of information that a club deems appropriate for their culture. And then using all that data and mining it to find the trends and the patterns of what causes injuries and performance. So, you know, what the likelihood of an ACL is for an 18-year-old versus a 22-year-old, soccer versus basketball. All that, all those trends are only possible now because of the evolution of technology and the ability to connect, you know, to things like an AI, where one system can automatically talk to another.
Absolutely.
And so I think being where we are in Silicon Valley has really helped kind of push that that agenda of getting more and more coaches to be able to see all the data in one place, and most importantly, take action on it, right? And not just have it in the spreadsheet.
Right.
You know, the both locations.
So with the technology, you know, and you're aggregating all this different data from different, you know, variables. How are you, you know, what separates you from maybe some of the other companies that are out there that are doing some of the similar types of things? And, you know, and what I've been very impressed with is the fact that it's, you know, it's integrated fully into the training facility and how that, and it's educating. I think, you know, one of the things I always say with, you know, what's the difference between the NFL and college football, you know, the areas that I've spent, is that you're dealing with a more informed consumer, you know, and you're working with some athletes, and the athletes that I've known that you've worked with, I mean, they walk away and they really fully feel like they get it. And so, you know, how are you able to bridge that gap with educating the athlete on here's the things that you need to work on in that real time, real environment, and kind of taking it out of that, that clinical type of setting?
Yeah, that's fantastic. I would say in one word, transparency. We don't hide any more athletes. And I think in this new age of athletes where they grew up with Google, you know, they're used to being able to access whatever information they want, whether it's their own medical history, whether it's, you know, looking hamstring attaches, they can Google it and find it.
Absolutely.
And I think the technology, ultimately our role is to educate the athlete on why things are being done, why they were assessed a certain way, what the treatment plan is, whether it's a squat or a sprint, you know, or a rehab process. And I think that's with the new generation, I mean, that transparency and the visualization that technology can provide of, and you got better, right?
Right.
Or you got worse, right? Shocking, if you sleep 4 hours a day, you're not going to get much better. Right? So it's trying to make those connections of the foundation we've always known. We've always known, right? You get stronger, you're healthier, right? You sleep more, you're more alert. You know, we're not reinventing the wheel there. I think what we're doing is it easier to tell that story.
Sure. So when an athlete walks in the gym for the first time, you know, and what's your, you know, kind of what's your evaluation process, and then how are you kind of making that athlete's workout a little bit more specific to them, as opposed to maybe more in like a team setting as well, you know,
yeah.
you got an entire basketball team coming in, you know, how are you evaluating them and then kind of you know, making the workout specific to each individual athlete?
Sometimes the basketball team seems like the size of a football team, probably, just because they're a tough group to work with.
It makes
people like Booty and the basketball strength coaches out there, you know, it's so noteworthy what they're doing. It's a challenge.
Absolutely.
We try to change that high school culture when they get to college and beyond. So I think, you know, when an athlete comes in the door or when a team works, they'll use the counter movement jump as a basic assessment of where the athlete is at. And really, it's three variables. They'll look at their eccentric rate of force, or what's called load. Again, trying to be transparent with the athlete. They're not a pattern that has been the basis for building predictive models and protocols. Okay, if your load's low, you know, we're going to do more squatting variations, right? So what we found is as with all the pool data, as people's squats are going up and getting stronger, associate load at the same time going up. And that's how we've been able to associate, okay, treatment with result, you know, much like medicine.
Sure. No, that's fantastic. Now, that's I'm assuming those are the three variables that you're using to create their what you're calling the motor signature.
Yeah, so the you know, we call it a movement signature, motor signature, and it's really that neuromuscular global assessment of, you know, where the athlete's at. You know, are they fatigued? Are they at risk for injury? Are they suited for that position? You know, an unexpected benefit of the software. A lot of professional teams use it for projection in the draft.
Sure. Okay,
we want to make this guy a guard rather than a tackle. Does he have the profile of what others found to be an NFL offensive guard? And so, I think that profile allows us to assign a specific program to the issue of job security in our field. Ultimately, we can then prescribe a validation, right? So
right.
There are a lot of injuries, right, over the course of the year, but statistically, we're clearly showing everything was done to prevent those. The strength coaches in the industry is no longer at the bottom of the food chain,
right?
The last one to get sick. Right? All of a sudden, it's like, well, good. You know, look elsewhere, right?
Sure.
And so I think ultimately that's endpoint is that program, every organization uses it a different way and has their own program, and then as a result gets an ROI, a return on investment they can provide, you know, to the GM, to the athletic director of, look how much money we saved, or look how many snaps we saved, or how many minutes we saved by, you know, getting strong.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doing the right things.
So yeah. Yeah, so I'm assuming to some degree you would take those three, you know, whether it be load or force or impulse or drive,
yeah.
You know, you would kind of put them into maybe three different areas within the room and kind of, you know, train those three different areas. You know, with a football program, you know, where you're dealing with maybe an entire offense or maybe an entire defense, you got 50 plus guys in there and you have 8 hours in the week to accomplish that. You know, are you doing the same thing, or how would you kind of, what would your recommendations be to the college strength coach trying to kind of implement that type of programming?
Yeah, so, you know, with football, what a lot of the teams have done, you know, Cal's a great example nearby us over here. You know, what they've done is they've had three tracks, like you mentioned, where there's a load group, and they're focused on really flexion and eccentric, you know, squatting, and then you've got an explode group where they're doing more of the Olympic lifts, you know, and then you've got a drive group which is doing more single leg, posterior chain type training.
Right.
Because the reality is, right, all three of those movement groups are really valuable, right? It really is a matter of,
right,
you know, what tool are you going to use, and that way they've only got three tracks going on at one time, and so it's a good balance between individualization, but you still have that camaraderie of, okay, the load group's working together and then the explode group's working together, you know?
Sure.
You don't lose that art, right, or that feel.
Right.
Coach.
Well, you know, I would assume, and again, I mean, I think you would agree with me that, you know, there's a continuum there. I mean, you want all three, you know? You want,
yes,
so how do you maintain the balance within, you know, within the programming, again, for maintaining where you maybe got strength and still continue to develop, but, you know, being able to enhance the rate limiting factor with wherever you're deficient, you know?
Yeah, I think that is, I mean, I just got an email on that today from one of the universities we work with. The rate limiting, you know, the rate limiting step of, you know, so the statistics we run and have universities run, what they found is that certain movements have negative, right? And so being aware of the negative effects, positive, is important for a lot of these coaches, because then they're able to include things that are good, maximum benefit, but avoid those groups where they might be doing things that actually basically drive with the brake on.
Sure.
You know, because you're in the gas, but the brakes on too. So those negative effects and statistics have been as effective as including as the positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the, so, you know, obviously, and this is kind of the, you know, this has kind of been a theme on the show a little bit with talking, you know, various different technologies. You know, as a strength coach, you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, obviously it all goes back to education of the athlete and trying to, you know, to have an impact on those 22 hours that you don't see them, you know, but at the same time, it's you know, when you're dealing within the team and the, you know, the camaraderie and the unity and the building, you don't want to get to a point to where you're kind of reinforcing negative behaviors. You know, like I don't, you know, if they have a poor HRV and they walk in the weight room because they've been out drinking or staying out all night, I'm not going to reward that by giving them the day off necessarily. You know,
that's right.
How have you kind of got? Have you? You know, what kind of tactics have you used to really, and this again, this goes back to one of the things I've been most impressed with is the transparency and the education of your athletes. What are some of the recommendations that you would have for other coaches around the country, around the world, in terms of really breaking down those barriers of, you know, getting them to understand completely what they're doing when they're outside of the gym that it contributes to their performance? Information they have, the better, for sure. And you go back to exactly, I think you hit it right on the head with relationship building. I mean, it's just about it with any relationship. I mean, you have to be a little vulnerable and you have to be simplistic and you have to, you know, you have to invest time to get time back, you know, and I think that's what's obviously you guys are doing with your athletes, and it's impressive. With any kind of new, you know, so when you walked away from Cal as a strength coach and you went back to med school and he's like, I have a vision. You had Sparta as a vision in your head. You know, obviously early on, you didn't have all the data and all the, you know, all the data mined to kind of support your theories. And he didn't have, you know, the testimonials and the success examples and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's always, I always love talking to trailblazers a little bit because, you know, it's a lot of what we have to do. We have to, you know, we have a clear vision of what we're thinking about doing. Maybe don't always have it supported yet, but you have a, you know, you want to integrate it, you know. And so what were some of the key things just early on that you know, how were you able to sell yourself, you know, build your brand and get athletes to buy into something that they really quite couldn't see just yet?
Yeah, I think you had mentioned relationships. I think over-delivering there was the key to getting us off the ground. You know, when we opened, we had zero customers, zero athletes. The U.S. just entered a recession. You know, it's pretty much a nightmare. You know, the thing that saved us is, I mean, I remember back in those days going to dinner with every athlete, you know, calling everybody, going out to practices, you know, and just really over-delivering for a few reasons. One, we needed business.
Sure.
But, you know, the other is, you know, so much, you learn so much by seeing how others coach and how other athletes move and their feedback. And so it was a big learning process as well. But, you know, going out and doing outreach just for the sake of making relationships, that was the catalyst and the benchmarks that kind of allowed it to grow.
Sure.
I think because ultimately, you know, ultimately Sparta's been the conglomerate of, you know, the friends we have in the field.
Yeah.
You know, that effect on what we do, Cal's that effect on what we do, you know, all these different organizations that we've chatted about, they all, you know, almost, you know, give a piece or take a piece and make, you know, the brand what it's become.
Absolutely. Well, with that, you know, when you're forming the company, and this is one of the things, what's kind of one of my pet peeves a little bit about where we're at as a profession, where we're at as a country even, is, you know, right now we're not, you know, leading the way in research and, you know, strength coaches, you know, we're so time consumed that, you know, our practitioners aren't taking the time to really write and conduct research and speak and do those types of things. And I mean, I would imagine, you know, starting a company and being an American company, you know, when you're competing with, you know, it seems like everything's coming out of Australia or United Kingdom or, you know, Sweden or wherever, you know, how were you able to kind of really close the gap there? And you know, where do you think from just purely a country, we need to go to kind of continue to be one of the leaders in the sports science area?
Awesome, yeah. You know, I think, yeah, Sparta's been fortunate to be one of the only, you know, companies to go the opposite direction, right?
Yeah.
We're growing faster right now internationally than we are domestically.
Wow.
And I think a lot of it has to do with we're capitalizing on the U.S. strength, which is tactical solutions.
I agree with that.
From how are we going to fix it? We need to get better at identifying the problem, using technology to monitor and explain it better. But as far as, you know, once you point an American strength coach in the right direction, we're gone. Like, we're good.
Mm.
So I think, you know, sports science has two pieces, and too often it's linked with a hardware like a software or a GPS. And that's it. But how you use it, that's a huge piece of it. It's just saying, well, we're going to do an MRI on a patient, and it needs to be better after we identify the ACL.
Right.
No. So the second piece is, like, what's the best practice to address it? And I think leveraging the strength of the U.S. tactical approach with, you know, the international strengths of assessments has been a key piece, kind of going the opposite direction of traffic.
Sure.
And trying to help, and I think ultimately it helps. Hopefully, it helps the U.S. as a brand of sports science. See, yeah, you know, this is a company that's come out of the U.S. that's doing sports science, and man, we're using it. You know, we're using it to make decisions.
No, that's great.
Which I think will reach best.
Well, I think that's, you know, I've spoken several times internationally, and I'm so impressed with how a lot of the Olympic sport countries are utilizing science to drive their training. And you're right. I mean, I think the tactical part of it is kind of where we've been really great about providing resources towards that area and you know, developing coaches and coaching and things along those lines. I think it's something that we need to continue as a profession to continue to grow and challenge ourselves to continue to educate our coaches and to educate our administrations and our GMs and things along those lines that, you know, sports science isn't going, it's not going away. It's only getting better. And, right. And there's some great companies out there doing some fantastic things that can help us become better practitioners. And, you know, if we continue to utilize each other and build, you know, from within and challenge ourselves to give back, I think that's the other part of it. That's one of the reasons why I do the show. It's one of the reasons why I always challenge myself to, you know, get out and continue, you know, continually learn, challenge my own ideals. Because it's, you know, if we don't and we just stay stagnant, we're gonna definitely get passed by, regardless of where you live in the world.
That's right. Yeah, I think a lot of times you don't realize how big a piece, you know, that culture or that tactical portion is that contributes to sports science. And I think as you're a young coach in the U.S., I mean, at least from what I remember, I mean, you're grinding 60 hours a day on the floor. And you get real good. I mean, I still to this day can hear a weight drop or a feet at the ground and know if it's a good rep or not on the clean.
Yeah.
You know, just from seeing and hearing things so often. You know, I think there's an opportunity for us as a country to give back not only domestically but internationally on those,
agreed.
You know, on those strengths.
Well, I know you guys invest a lot into your interns and developing that internship program out there, but you know, give us the best piece of coaching advice you've ever received.
Yeah, I think, you know, the mentors I've had in the field, they weren't big sit down and talk about principles and coaching. They were just really good at leading by example. So the head coaches or the directors I've worked with, they're hands on. And they'll approach a dynamic warm-up just like a 1RM squat, just like a sprint. And I think a global but very detailed appreciation of every movement and its mechanics. You know, Todd Rice, one of my mentors I mentioned, and another one at Penn, Rob Wagner. Both of those guys are just watching them coach the mechanics and spend all day on the movement. Stories was John Madden came back from group when he was coaching. He said, I thought I knew a lot about coaching until John Bardi talked the whole day on one play.
Yeah.
You know, and then I realized how little I knew. and still, the coaches that I really been blessed to be around, they could talk a full day on one move, you know, and they're on the floor too, where it's that chasing of biomechanically.
Absolutely. You know what? And this, you know, this is one question I didn't ask, but I don't want to leave without asking it. Is, I mean, you're going around and you're working with some of the elite programs in the country and around the world now. You know, when you're going in, what seems to be the common, you know, pain point, the common question that every, you know, coach is, you know, looking to get answered. And where you feel like we can continue to get better as a profession?
Yeah, for the most part, you know, we wrote a blog a couple months back on this topic. I think the common theme is that strength coaches want and a seat at the table. They can be at the table making decisions. Like, all right, the waiver guy. So you enter the waiver room, right? And then we'll handle everything else. Not recognizing the carryover back and forth. So I think the biggest everybody wants to be validated. And I think field of conditioning, I think especially with Tom has been what we've done has been pushed to the side as a necessary thing, but not necessarily a highly prioritized aspect, right? And there's so much we can have. Med teaching progressive programs for rehab, right? I mean, there's principles and strength conditioning that apply there. That can apply to GPS, that can apply to planning sport practice, right? What drills, when, and that's coach, that's because this is high volume, this is low volume. So I think the pain point has always just been trying to get validated.
Sure.
That's the biggest pain point.
No, I would agree.
They're doing a great job. Yeah.
I would agree with you 100%. I think that goes back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier with, you know, continuing to challenge ourselves and, you know, and to be more professional and to be, you know, more, you know, conduct more research and speak on topics and really push the field further and forward as opposed to, you know, reinventing, you know, something that's been around for some time, you know, and just spinning it a different way. But no, that's good. I'm glad I threw that in there. What about, you know, with these young coaches that you have coming in, you know, and with a unique company, because it's not just, especially in the early stages of a company, it's not just about finding a strength coach or a qualified person. It's finding somebody that fits the culture. You know, what's a common question that you ask, or, you know, a question that you feel like gets to the root of the culture, you know, for your company that might separate out, that's unique, that's something that you don't always hear out there in the interview process. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the biggest prerequisite is passion, right? I mean, a lot of times, you know, education's evolved quite a bit to be a little bit more dogmatic. And as a result, a lot of the younger coaches in the field may not have actually sat down and reflected, okay, why do I want to coach? As a coach, what are my strengths? What am I good at? How can I develop those? The big question we always ask is, you know, why do you want to coach? Why do you want to be a coach? You know, we certainly don't want people that just want to be around athletes.
Sure.
You know? And I think they've got to be aware of, as a coach, what do you do well, right? Are you good with nutrition? Are you a good motivator? You know, are you good at staying in touch with athletes? Are you good at lifts? You know, whatever it may be, you've got to identify that strength and surround yourself with people who don't have it, but then also really work to develop that strength as something that makes you unique and, you know, indispensable to an organization.
Absolutely. And we talk a lot about that with our interns, and we call it their unique selling proposition. What's unique about them? You know, what are they going to bring? And I think that's an important lesson. I'm glad you said that, because, you know, any coach in general, myself included, I mean, when you leave a program, you need to find out what people felt like really stood out about you and what your strengths are. And that's going to be something that you'll utilize in those job interviews and those settings and things like that, because you don't always, I mean, you're living it. You don't always see it from a different perspective, you know. And I think that's a fantastic way to go about. I love your quote. You sent me your quote early. You know, what's your favorite quote that you have, you know, plastered up, or one that you live by?
Yeah, you know, Sparta actually came from Spartan. We had a marketing group locked off because it was a little more easier to remember than Spartan. But, you know, we talk about simplicity, and I love Da Vinci's quote, you know, simplicity is the ultimate sophistication.
That's fantastic.
You know, there's multiple quotes by Einstein and Da Vinci around the same thing, where, you know, the really hard part is trying to take concepts and make them simple, you know, because ultimately a philosophy is more successful if it's consistent, right? It becomes easier to be consistent if it's simple. It's always kind of trying to remind ourselves of trying to do less better. You know?
Right.
So that quote always kind of rings true.
Absolutely. Well, that's, you know, you're not going to, you know, let's face it, that, you know, that NBA athlete, that NFL athlete, or, you know, shoot, coaches in general, they're not always going to understand those spider graphs and those charts and those readings. And, you know, you got to make it simple for them in digestible terms. I always talk to tell our coaches that they got to be able to explain it to a 10-year-old. They got to be able to explain it to my daughter. And if they can explain it to my daughter, she understands it, then they've done a good job. What about, you know, give me a couple book recommendations, and if there's any apps or websites that you generally check out.
You know, you had mentioned with your intern program that you need selling proposition, USP. You know, I believe a lot of coaching is selling, right? You're selling to the athlete, private or public, doesn't matter. You're selling to the athlete, you're selling to the sport coach. And so one of my favorite books is To Sell as Human,
yeah,
by Dan Pink.
Yeah.
And yeah, really talking about, you know, everybody's selling, you know, it's, you have to realize it, embrace it, and sell in a way that makes your body fit. You know, the other book I had mentioned, Vulnerability, you know, there's a book by Brené Brown called The Power of Vulnerability, really talking about how, with, especially it's hard in sports and coaching, how important it is to really convey that vulnerability, that authenticity, right? So you do get that first step in the relationship, right?
Absolutely. What about, is there any apps that you're using with your athletes or your own, for your own productivity?
So yeah, we have an app. The Sparta Software has an app where athletes are logging in nutrition and sleep, their workouts, any sort of self-care, as a way to, you know, continue to really develop habits, you know, because we all know the only thing the athlete is never without is their phone, yeah, right? So, you know, the daily habits more likely to be developed if it's on a phone.
Sure.
Personally, for me, most of my time is spent either talking on the phone or using it to read some of the books that I mentioned, you know, via Kindle app.
Yeah. No, that's great. Any websites you generally check out?
You know, at this point, I think most of my learning and education is from talking with other coaches.
Yeah.
You know, hey, we saw this. What do you think? Both young and old coaches, seeing what trends they have. You know, what problems. You know, we had the Cal staff come down and watch our session. You know, watch our coaches coach and had a lot of nice things to say, but they also gave us a good piece of feedback that said, you know, make sure you ask the athlete or get the athlete's attention before you give the feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times our coaches are just saying, chest up, you know, they're squatting. But the athlete realizes you're talking to him, the cue is passed.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, I think learning by having other coaches evaluate you and vice versa is a, it's been more fruitful for me than a website at this point.
Absolutely. No question about it. That's and again, that's why we do the show, and it's, and I would echo that with, you know, having kind of a peer accountability partner, somebody that, you know, you trust, that's in the field, that, you know, come in and watch and tell me the fleas, you know, see, you know, tell me what you see. Tell me if my coaches aren't coaching when they're, you know, when my back's turned or my athletes are not touching the line or whatever. It's a valuable, you know, it's valuable to have another set of eyes that you trust to come in and do an evaluation. And likewise, you also need to get out and see other ways of, there's so many ways to do it, and there's so many ways to skin the cat, you know, that you have to get out and see, just so you challenge your own ideals, you know, because there's a lot of really good people in this profession, isn't there?
Yeah, I think, you keep touching on that, almost making yourself uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, and learning to, like, I'll thrive on it or live on it. I think it's a good reminder, too. A lot of times athletes aren't comfortable or training, and it gives you a little empathy of, like, man, yeah, first time doing cleans or first time doing something, you know, athlete's pretty uncomfortable. And if you're going through similar things in a different setting, you have some empathy towards that.
Absolutely. Well, you're about to be uncomfortable for about a month here, going overseas for about a month and just traveling and planes, trains, and automobiles, right? But I truly appreciate you coming on, man, and sharing with us and spending a little time. Where can we get more information about, you know, Sparta and you know, everything that you have going on?
Yes, we have two separate, you know, companies. One is the software company, Sparta Software,
mm-hmm,
and the other is Sparta Software. So that's more where our coaching takes place at the exact location here in Menlo Park. SpartaSoftware.com and SpartaScience.com.
Awesome, man. Well, buddy, I appreciate it, man. Have a great trip. Thanks for coming on, man.
Come on, thank you.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.